Second Peter chapter 2, verse 3, second part to the first part of verse 10.
For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority.
May the Lord add His blessing to our hearts. Now, the first point in your outline is that there is a promise of punishment. And the title of the sermon is, It's Payday for False Teachers. In chapter 1, Peter told us the fact that God has revealed the truth that we need to know in Scripture. And now Peter in his second letter states that God hates those who twist the Scripture. If you go and forward to chapter 3, verse 16, Peter says, and there are many who twist the Scripture, but that will be to their own destruction and perdition. So in chapter 1, he talked about the special revelation of the truth revealed in Scriptures. And in chapter 2, now Peter is telling us that God hates and will judge those who pervert and twist the Scripture. There is a promise of judgment. And Peter starts saying that God did not forget that. God is not asleep. He did not forget. He's going to use the same concept in chapter 3 when he talks about the flood that as Noah preached year after year after year, people were saying, oh man, you've been talking about that for so long. God has forgotten or he's asleep. Peter is repeating the same fact here. The condemnation and judgment of these individuals has not been forgotten. But there is payday, someday, and it's coming sooner than people think. Some people have confused delayed judgment with canceled judgment. No. And in chapter 3 again, Peter is going to say, if it appears to you that judgment is delayed, look now at His mercy. Is giving you one more chance to repent. There is payday, and it's coming. When Peter says, and their sentence is not asleep, literally the figure is of an executioner who is standing by. In those days, with a sword in his hand, just waiting for the judge to say, bring it down. The executioner is not asleep. He's ready to act, but will not act until the judge says, do it. And Peter says, the day is coming. And don't think that the executioner is sleeping. No. It will do you good to read the book of Revelation, where you say, time after time, that the angels bringing the judgments are ready with their trumpets, ready with their bowls to be poured with the wrath of God. But it will not do anything until they hear that voice from the throne of God saying, pour it down. They're not sleeping. They're ready to do it. And that's what Peter is saying here. Don't mistake God's mercy for God being asleep, Peter says. Peter says the judgment will be swift. Some people say, but hasn't God changed? Some people have told me the God of the New Testament is different from the Old Testament. I don't know what Testament or what Bible they're reading. Because, number one, the Bible says He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is not asleep. He has not canceled the promise to judge sin and sinners. And Peter is going to bring three examples out of the Old Testament of the book of Genesis to remind us that judgment is coming. The first example that Peter picks up in the book of Genesis is the judgment of the fallen angels in verse 4. These angels refused the authority of God. And if you remember the last sentence in verse 10, it's about those who have rejected God's authority. These angels have rejected God as sovereign. They became demons. There are only one Lord of all, and if you reject Him, you will join the other crowd where Satan is Lord. Jesus says there are only two masters, and you can only serve one at a time. You cannot serve God and riches and whatever Satan puts in your path at the same time. Peter says there's some of these demons, and we don't know how many. We don't know exactly some of the circumstance. They are in chains in the abyss, waiting the day of judgment. And the book of Revelation tells us that there will be a time in the future that some of these demons will be released from the abyss. We don't understand many of those things. But Peter is saying with this is that there are no one so important, so lofty, that is beyond God's judgment. Not even angels, never mind man. It's so interesting that when we get to the book of Jude, we'll talk a little bit about it, that both in 2 Peter and Jude, these fallen angels under these special conditions are linked to the same spirit of immorality that prevailed in Sodom and Gomorrah. Peter is warning us and telling us, Hebrews 9:27, it is ordained to man to die, and after that, judgment. After that, judgment. There's no one so big, so important, so rich, so famous that can escape that. If you don't repent, the Bible says you will face Jesus as your judge. Either you come to Him today to be your Savior, or you'll find Him to be your judge in eternity. When Peter uses here the word hell, he uses the Greek word Tartarus. And Tartarus means the deepest pit of hell, explaining to us that there are degrees of punishment in hell. Again, I don't want to know more than the Bible reveals about hell. It's bad enough, Jesus says, it's because of your eye, you'd rather pluck your eye off than go to hell. If it's because of your hand, you'd rather cut off your hand than because of your hand end up in hell. That's how serious this is. But I know that when the Lord came to the province of Gadara, and He cast away the demons from that man, and the demons went into the pigs. Do you remember what the demons told Jesus? Please, don't send us to the abyss. Those that the Lord placed in the abyss, those demons are in chains.
waiting the day of judgment.
But Peter starts above man on angels to tell us that not even angels who rebel have escaped judgment. But the second example goes to the pre-diluvian world, the world before the flood, the world of Noah when he preached repentance. Those folks heard the truth, rejected the truth. Genesis 6 says that the earth was filled with violence and hate and immorality. God has sent a preacher with the good news that said, repent. There is judgment in your future. And they laughed. They despised. They rejected truth. Let us not make the same mistake. That's why in Hebrews says, if you hear His voice today, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. I put a quote in the bottom of the bulletin. By delay of repentance, sin strengthens. The heart hardens. The longer ice freezes, the harder it is to be broken. The Lord Jesus says that we would be living in the days of Noah all over again. We are living in those days. That being a fact, remember, this lifestyle will require the same judgment. Don't ever expect to repeat the same thing and have different results. That's foolishness. If these are the days of Noah, judgment is at the door. And we need to get into the ark, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Jesus? Is your faith in the Lord, the Savior? Third example, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in Genesis 19, due to the immorality and justice, God sent His messengers to the city. The dwellers of Sodom tried to abuse the angels of God. Lot told his sons-in-law to get out of the city while it was time. Again, they laughed at the message of repentance. And the Bible says that as the sun came out that morning and Lot fled for his life, fire came down and only left ashes behind in those cities. Over 20 times, the Lord talks in His Word about the destructions of the city of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that His wrath will always be poured upon those who reject the truth and make fun of the truth. The Bible says here in verse 9 that God is reserving them for us. My friends, as any attribute of God, God's wrath is infinite. His love is infinite. His justice is infinite. His wrath is infinite. It never abates. It's constant. Has no shadows of change. God's wrath will be poured again on sinners who don't repent. Sodom and Gomorrah, we have no much time to talk about, but the spirit of the days of Noah, the spirit that worked in Sodom and Gomorrah continues to work in our days. Just this week, my sister was saying that my niece down in Florida just moved out of the church where she was because the leaders of the church are now accepting homosexual marriage in that church. And my sister told her daughter, who already made plans to move, get out of there, because judgment is coming one day into that church. The spirit of the days of Noah and of Sodom and Gomorrah is at work in our culture. And unfortunately,
in the church of Christ, where that small elite of angels of darkness have taken over the pulpits and have, as Peter says, twisted the truth to their own perdition, destruction, and judgment.
But, my friends, if there's a promise of punishment, there is comfort for the Christian. There's a promise of protection and deliverance. Verse 9. So the Lord will preserve and deliver the pious, the righteous, from this type of temptation. And verse 5 says that God kept Noah. Verse 7 says that God delivered Lot, and it gives you a good picture that it doesn't matter how bad the days are. The Lord knows His own, and His own are in good hands. God gave grace to Noah not to be contaminated by the culture where he was living, although immorality, violence, and corruption was all around him. He is the same Lord that can keep you in the midst of a fallen and corrupt generation. Jude verse 24 tells us that same to Him who is able to keep us from falling. To Him be glory in the church through the Lord Jesus Christ. My brother, my sister, are you surrounded by the wicked where you work? In the school where you go? In your neighborhood? Do you know what? The Lord that kept Noah, delivered Lot, is the same one. You stay faithful to Him, He will keep you from temptation, from sin, from joining the crowd that is in His way to hell and judgment. He is faithful. He'll keep you. The Lord knows His own. But you who know Him, the Bible says, depart from iniquity. Depart from sin. The Lord knows you. He will keep you. To live in Sodom was to live at the gates of hell. Such immorality, homosexuality, and all kind of sin was committed in that town. And it says here that Lot was afflicted by what he saw, what he heard. He was afflicted. And my question is, does sin bother you? This is the mark of the Christian. If sin does not bother you, you're not a Christian. If you're comfortable in sin, you're not a Christian. Does sin bother you? So if it bothers you, you walk away from those conversations. You turn off your TV from those sensual, immoral programs. You don't go to a certain place if sin bothers you. If you don't abandon sin, sin will never leave you. You need to turn your back. And when the day of judgment came, God told Lot, get out and don't look back. And He's telling you and me, if there's anything that changes you to sin, God is saying, leave, get out, and don't look back to that thing. Don't look back to that relationship. Don't look back to that habit. Don't look back to that thing that has put you in bondage. Get out. Don't look back. Are you oppressed by any work of darkness in your life? Any addictions? The Lord is telling you, get out, follow me, and don't look back. And He has the power to make you to get out. If you just come by faith. And He's reminding you and me that those things that chain you to sin, tomorrow will be just ashes. Ashes under His judgment. Let's finish looking at verse 10. But God will judge those who follow their sin and have despised authority. What is He talking about? He's saying that these false teachers who twist the truth, they may even use the name of Christ,
But they are not subject to His authority. They have rejected His authority. When they rejected that this is the truth, they have rejected God's authority. And this is the way of the rebels, the way that leads to judgment. And one day, those who have rejected His authority will find Him to be their judge. And Jesus says, the word I've spoken to you will judge you in the last day. Some people look around, see sin, see the awful sins just happened, for instance, in City Hall in Providence, Rhode Island, when people went there to celebrate family and they were insulted by kids. A person was there, told me, coming to lobby for homosexual marriage, kids already brainwashed. And we look around, and people look around to the spirits of Noah's days and Lot's days around us. And people say, well, it's looked like the dark side is winning. And that the score at this point of the game is 10 for Satan and 0 for Christ. Let me just explain one thing to you. The very fact that these things are happening is already a sign of judgment. It's already a sign of judgment. Will you repent? Will you trust every word in His word? He says, this word will judge you. You better believe what He says here.